Hello guys, welcome to another episode of TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Titi Lola.
And I'm Victor.
And my name is Adewale.
Okay.
Adewale, welcome. It's been a long while. Welcome.
No, it's Titi we should be welcoming here.
Titi, okay, so Titi went on leave for the past plenty years.
It was just 2 weeks. And it was great. It was very restful. Okay. There was a lot of sleeping and eating and tweeting.
I saw it showing on your face.
And Titi got her hair. So
yes,
Titi
the new look.
Now in the guys' club.
Yeah, we are welcome, guys.
Okay, so Titi is the only person on this table that has an iPhone. Titi, how's your iPhone?
It's good.
Okay, I'm asking because in Ghana, iPhone users didn't have a good time this week. So iPhone users in Ghana complained, especially the ones that are using MTN, they complained they were having issues with USSD codes.
Thank God I'm not in Ghana, right?
Yeah, I know. So somebody tweeted at MTN and said he had trouble using their service, and it always showed blank whenever the codes were dialed.
Yeah, and we found out that it was people that were running the iOS 13.2.
Yes.
Which is not very surprising because that version of iOS is very buggy.
I try not to care much because I don't really have an iPhone and I don't use an iPhone. I don't want to use an iPhone until Apple dash me one. So thank you.
Okay. So still talking about MTN, right? There's a story on how MTN Nigeria gained over $1.8 billion valuation within 6 months. On the Nigerian Stock Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they did this against all odds.
Against plenty odds.
Plenty odds, actually. Because in the past year or 2 years, they've been under a lot of, you know, persecution, for lack of a better word.
From NCC.
Yes, so there's the NCC fine, where they were fined for not...
the unregistered SIM cards.
Yes. Yeah. Sticking to the law generally in terms of registering SIMs and whatnot, you know.
I think what I find interesting with this valuation and thing is the way they are actually competing with Dangote Cement on the group.
Yes.
I mean, they listed some times ago.
Yeah.
Not how many months ago?
Six months ago.
And right now they are actually competing with someone that has been, a company that has been dominating this.
Which is showing the
promising of the industry.
It's quite interesting. And you know, for the longest while, actually, telcos perform greatly on the stock exchange.
Yeah.
And now there's also the issue of companies wanting to list, whether they should list on foreign bosses, like foreign stock exchange
or local ones,
local African stock exchange, right? So there's a story on for or against. It's like there are different... what's the word? Different pros and cons.
Yeah.
Everything has
especially because there's no particular recipe for success on any stock exchange, right? There are so many external factors that would like make you succeed or maybe fail.
Isn't there though? Because
there's some.
There are too many external factors. For example, MTN. There was this xenophobic attack thing.
Yeah.
For MTN. I mean, this is something that they cannot control.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, that there are too many external factors. I know that they will have in-house strategies and stuff, but too many external factors can make or mar their performance on the stock exchange is what I'm trying to say.
That's very true. So in the Nigerian exchange, that in this conversation now of listing locally or listing internationally, you know, you have companies that have listed locally and still do not do well.
Mm-hmm.
And you have companies that have listed internationally and are having a hard time.
Yeah,
example,
exactly.
Jumia.
Exactly.
Jumia is a very big example, you know. So it's not, like you said, I guess your analogy is the best.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of external circumstances.
Too many of them that will just come and ruin everything that you've planned for.
I'm telling you.
So,
yeah, it really interests to know what's going
on. So the conversation is, should companies list on foreign stock exchange or the local ones? So are you for or against that, Wally?
That
local or foreign? Or local African?
Well, it depends on your market. So you can't judge MTN that MTN is listing just locally.
Yeah.
One thing you should know, they are a Pan-African company. Mm-hmm. So they've listed in, I think they've listed in Ghana. They've been listed in South Africa as well.
Yeah.
So it's a different game, but it's about valuation sometimes. Sometimes it's about your valuation. The market you have you're actually operating in and the valuation, to be honest.
Now, you can't even blame people that are even trying to list outside of Africa.
Have
you? Yes, because, you know, it's not very profitable to list in Africa or in Nigeria. But that's MTN is actually MTN has actually, you know, proven that might not be true, right?
Very blanket statement. Okay. But yeah. So talking about markets, in the Nigerian tech ecosystem, like the tech startup market in Nigeria, we have a king of exits. All hail Sim Shagaya the first.
First of his name.
And lord of exits, you know. So recently, this week, Sim Shagaya's company that he formed, Emotion Advertising, was acquired by Lotsat Promotions, which is a Lagos, Nigeria-based agency. So we hear Emotion is a profitable venture with billboards and advertising across Nigeria.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of investments. So Sim steps down from Emotion. Like, he was one of the first companies he founded.
Yeah.
But we don't know if he still owns shares in the company.
Yeah, that wasn't
According to his tweet, I think one way or the other, he actually owns, because he was saying it takes 13 to 15 years to come. Yes, it was.
So the Emotion website lists, as the last time we checked, he listed Sim Shagaya as director. But that same website says he's still CEO of Konga. So are we supposed to believe,
Maybe. I don't know the last time they updated that.
Exactly. And it's just, so this article erroneously said this was his first
venture. Business.
But we checked, and apparently he he exited Konga.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he exited Konga, he exited this one. And before then, he has started and failed at 4 different projects in the past.
Number one, Victor.
Are we listening? But yeah, he has had 4 failed projects, right?
Yes, like, and they failed because they were ahead of their time. So if you compare the internet penetration back in the day to now, any business of that nature would probably not scale in Nigeria at the time. So we are talking 2016, right?
Yeah.
For about that time,
we can conclude that it's the guy that is thinking of.
From the 4 ventures, there was a dating site, mm-hmm. alarena.com. There was a job site, jobclan.com. There's a classified site, gbogbo.com. And the media streaming service, inollywood.com.
So the beauty of this thing is there are businesses like this and they've been able to scale after that time, using the same model. So it was definitely ahead of its time. I mean, that's what I think.
Possibly.
Because we've had, for the jobs, we have startups like Jobberman, Classifies, we have Gigi. Do we have any notable dating sites in Nigeria? We are still struggling with that. Imagine.
Did you say dating sites?
Yeah.
We are still struggling with that. And then there's the iNollywood, and we have the Iroko. So,
up to now, we still don't have it.
Exactly.
So people still use Tinder in Nigeria, Lagos?
Yeah. I'm even talking about an indigenous startup, Nigerian startup, that has actually scaled to an extent. And what they do is online dating. We have a few, but you know what I mean.
Okay. Anyway, I mean, Sim Shagaya has always been way ahead of his time, to be very, very, very honest, you know. And this week, as usual, we have more OPay stories.
OPay stories.
They're actually everywhere. They're everywhere that you can't even say what they are building or what they are not.
They have a challenger in the market.
Yeah.
I mean, they raised $120 million, mm-hmm. and they have another Chinese
company coming to give them a run for their money.
Yeah, are we sure they will actually give them a run for their money?
I mean, I'm just saying. It's not what everybody is saying, right?
In this game, so OPay recently launched Oka,
mm-hmm.
to rival Uber and
Bolt in Nigeria. Mm-hmm.
And they launched Olist.
So let's even talk about Oka.
Okay.
To be honest, I look at the market that is a saturated market.
Okay.
Uber and Bolt, these are companies that raised millions, if not billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Do they even have a chance? And with this one, I feel like for the first time, I see them launching something that I think is not their strength.
So I always say that Nigerian market is Nigerian market is not loyal.
Yeah, it's a price market.
If they're going to start with 200 naira, people are going to flock into Opay and take rides, right? Yeah. I'm not going to say after they finish taking those 200 naira rides, so they'll go back to their boat and Uber. But for now, I see people flocking to Opay to take Oka. And that's how I see it.
Well, have you tried it?
No, I haven't.
Have any one of you guys tried it?
Nope, not yet. Hopefully, we'll experience it.
Why?
Soon. I don't know. Probably. No.
Lagos traffic.
Yes.
So the who are this competition you guys think Opay are? Who are these guys?
So PalmPay launched this.
Yeah, who are the guys behind PalmPay?
Transion Holdings. Transion? So the makers of Tecno, Infinix, and Itel phones. They are the ones that Chinese they are the ones backing, and they raised some money. How much did they raise?
$40 million.
Oh, okay.
$40 million.
Yep.
Whoa. Or Zimbabwean dollar.
And so apart from Oka, okay, before we talk about
PalmPay.
It always comes in PalmPay, my mouth. Okay, before we talk about PalmPay, apart from Oka, mm-hmm. Opay also launched Olist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Olist is supposed to be a classified site.
Yeah.
And classified. So it's going to be like classified, where people sell things and all that kind of stuff. Right. And they hired former CEO of car classified site Checky to lead this new marketplace, which shows that they are going in heavy on this.
So there's actually direct competition, direct poaching, direct like
aggressive tactics.
Like we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
but you know, we've had this conversation a couple of times before, right? What, Wally, what do you think about the classifieds market in Nigeria generally? Because there has been a lot of players that have come and gone mm-hmm. and, you know, are staying.
So, with one leg.
I've seen people like Gigi that have been around for a very long time. We need to give those guys credit. Now, although Gigi is beyond just listing, they are just doing almost everything that you could think of just to stay alive. And they are doing a fantastic job. But when you look at classified industry, I think we've written a lot about that.
Yeah.
But looking at Opay, we all know Opay endgame. You understand? This week, we have been rolling out the merchant QR code, which I think is actually an endgame.
Okay.
It's actually an amazing thing because if you enter just someone at a corner, just your neighbor mortar and brick shop, you can actually use your Opay QR code actually
buy stuff.
So you've not tried it?
No, I haven't.
You can see that from your face. So you should try it. I mean, I'm not selling for Opay, so. But all I'm trying to say is, no matter the market they enter, you just need to look at their end game.
Yeah.
Which is payment. Well,
yes, which is payment. So everything you should take later is all the market they enter, they turn everything to an API. And give a company that want to run the company.
Okay.
I completely agree with you. It's become very aggressive. And while they are expanding, you know, for Opay and even PalmPay, because we heard, as we said last week, we heard that, like, you know, PalmPay is hoping to do logistics, hoping to get, you know, everything that Opay necessarily has now.
So another super app.
Yes, another super app in the making.
Mm-hmm. But,
and sorry, just to add, and both companies are actually Chinese companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that.
Chinese backed.
Chinese money.
Chinese founders, and they're just Chinese companies in the market. What is there for African founders? Can't we solve our own problem? I'm just...
I mean, we can, but where's the money though? Is that not why
what they are bringing to the market is plenty needed money.
So
plenty money. You know, I keep saying this thing. I'm like, these guys are directly investing into the African market. Like, they are putting investments that a lot of people have not had the confidence and faith to invest. I feel like I'll forgive them a lot of things, to be very honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so while they are building out all these things, especially from the logistics perspective, you know, buying motorcycles, there's these serious issues that they still have with regulations. So we heard that they have been having this. So there have been these ongoing conversations between ride-hailing companies in Lagos, motorcycle on-demand companies, majorly in Lagos, Max Okada, Gokada, and what's the other one? And OP, right?
And the rest that we don't know.
So conversation between them, the unions, transport unions in Lagos, and the government, right? And basically, what we found out to a very large extent is that, you know, the unions are playing a very active role in these negotiations and are stifling the startups to a very large extent. It's actually sad because it's one of those things that. So there's an update that we learned now that, you know, the government, they've reached an agreement to pay a daily exorbitant fee.
500 naira.
Yes, daily.
Is it actually confirmed? Because according to a tweet, I saw one of the OP, one of their operational O-Ride operation manager.
Okay.
I saw his tweet this afternoon actually telling people that it's just normal partnership with NURTW.
So, like, this is in line with the meetings they've been having with the government, right?
Yeah.
Trying to get a resolution for the, you know, problems.
Because those guys keep harassing the riders on the road.
Physically assaulting them, taking their motorcycles, and these people have to pay them fines for what exactly, you know? And it's just, it's terrible. But apparently, we hear that there's an update that they've agreed, you know, to pay 500 naira daily for a motorbike.
Per bike.
Yes, per bike.
Wow.
Only OP agreed?
Everybody.
No, everybody.
So, and
maybe they should start their own union. Like,
yeah, I don't know, I'm just saying. No, someone actually said that on a tweet that is actually in the law in Nigeria that you can actually form your own in Lagos.
These are unions. And these unions are not. So there's a free will to join unions. They're not, you know. They're not an arm of the government. They're not a tax collecting organization, right? So these guys can register their own unions. Because this is, for lack of a better word, this is really expensive. I don't see how they can sustain this
too
in the long run.
500 naira per bike, per day.
Every day. And they're not profitable. Where are they going to get this money from? You know, it's going to be, I feel like this regulatory obstacle is going to be one of the biggest hindrances that these people are going to have.
It's shame, but we wish them all the best.
Amen.
It's shameful.
Amen.
All the best. Wish them all the best.
Something has to give at the end of the day. This is not even a matter of, you know, what we wish or what we don't wish. Something has to eventually
give.
They
have to find a solution.
Yeah, they have to, because this is...
It's not sustainable.
It's not very sustainable. They're not making money, you know, they're not... Anyway, let's leave this low. Let's move on to a high. So we're going to congratulate Nigerian... based healthcare logistics startup LiveBank for winning $250,000 from the Jack Ma African Entrepreneur Prize Initiative in Ghana.
Yeah, the first prize.
They won the first prize. Oh, so
congratulations to LiveBank.
Temi and our team.
Yeah, Temi Giwa Tubosun.
Temi Giwa Tubosun and our team.
Yes.
Congrats.
So the LiveBank,
and they even launched the drone delivery service.
Yes.
Oh, that's actually cool.
So LiveBank won 250,000 of the 1 million grand prize, and first and second runner-ups took home 150,000 and 100,000 respectively, and seven other finalists got $500,000. They shared $500,000, and the seven finalists were Thrive Agri from Nigeria, Drugstock from Nigeria, Black Swan from Nigeria. Uziri from Rwanda, J-Pam from Liberia, Africrea from Ivory Coast, and Mom from Egypt. Like Wale said, they launched a drone delivery service.
Yeah.
Yes, which is, I mean, it's a great stuff. And I feel like it's going to help them reach a lot of previously unreached areas.
Yeah.
And I mean, minus the drone delivery thing, right? So they are the first African-led company to implement beyond visual line of sight flights. So what beyond visual line of sight flights are like simply put, their drones can go beyond the sight of the pilot.
Oh.
Yeah, like, you know, those kind of drones. And they are the first African-led company to do this.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, cool stuff. Like, congratulations to them. And more congratulations are in order.
Yeah.
Tell me, in Nigerian...
Are they Temi or Tami?
It's T-E...
T-E-M... T-R-M-I-I. Termi or Termi?
Termi. Termi.
Okay, we don't know how to pronounce it, obviously. So, Termi.
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 Okay, Termi, a Nigerian startup, they secured a $30,000 seed fund from Transion-backed Future Hub.
Yeah.
Within the week.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, so Termi is a communication and collaboration platform, and they got money from Future Hub. So Future Hub is backed by Transion. So Transion are the guys behind
Tecno, Infinix, and ITEL phones.
Yeah, and all the plenty thing. So
and another congratulation to
GigaLayer. Yes.
GigaLayer acquired Hub 8.
Yeah. Hub 8.
Yeah, it's a Russian.
Who are the Hub 8 team?
It's a Russian web hosting company.
It's a big Russian web hosting company.
Yeah.
And this is actually a big win for a local startups in Nigeria. So congratulations to Ahmad and his team. Yes.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Keep up the good work.
Okay. So congratulations to all the startups that did great this week. Livebank, Termi, and GigaLayer, and all the startups that are out there grinding. A big shout out to you all. Talking about startups, we have a very important announcement this week. Something really, really important. You probably have heard about it so many places, but it is the TechPoint School. And I'm going to let Adewale, what is the TechPoint School?
It's TechPoint Startup School.
TechPoint Startup
School. So TechPoint Startup School is a program that we put together, is a school that we put together for startup, different part of startup, because we believe that a growth of startup is important, not just to us, but it's important to the Nigeria economy. So this time around, this edition is for the founders and the CEOs, and it's going to be a 5 days intensive training for African founders and CEOs. It's going to the campus in Lagos, Nigeria, and it's from 2nd to 6th of December, because we believe that's the best time to actually prepare for next year. So get ready for TechPoint Startup School.
Aha. So that's 5 days intensive program.
Yes.
Now, who is going to be in charge of this school? Who are the instructors? City?
Well, we have a very interesting lineup of instructors from Inyabueji, Future.Africa, Funke Okpeke, Maywon Cable, Chidi Ajeri, GIG Group, Ola Orekurin Brown, Flying Doctors Nigeria, Eniola Runda Tosi, Team Apt, Akinlawo Alao, HR Consultant at the Human Leadership Consulting, Damlola Thompson, a partner at EcoVC Partners, and Kayode Diola, Insights Communication Limited, and of course, Wale Ayeni, Regional Head, Africa, International Finance Corporation.
Ah, those are very super people. And for 5 days, these people are going to be, teaching about marketing, team building, fundraising and management, scaling, sales, B2B. Basically, they're just going to, these are real entrepreneurs that are going to be showing you how to run businesses.
They are running successful businesses in Africa.
And they know how to do it, and they will tell you how this is done. For more information, go to school.techpoint.africa. Titi, what's the site?
School.techpoint.africa.
School.techpoint.africa and find out more and register, because there are limited slots, and
plus
the faster
it's
you go,
2 weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks away. So limited slots.
Yeah.
The faster you can get it, the better.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for being with us this week again.
Yeah. Thank you guys for all the stories that we've talked about. You can find them on techpoint.africa, and you find the links on the show notes of this podcast.
What's the show notes, City?
Come on. You know that thing that you click on when you see a podcast? On the episode of the podcast, just click on it. You get the details at the bottom of the podcast with all the links. Better. So all the links of the stories will be there. Also, you can tweet at us about this podcast using the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, like, review, so that other people can find us. Thank you, guys.
So if you have a review or a feedback that is too long, you can send an email to podcast@techpoint.africa.
Yes.
Okay, this is Victor signing off the TechPoint Africa podcast.
My name is Titilola.
And my name is Adewale.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.